Stand up, Nuggets Nation. Denver Sports presents the Mile High Hoops Podcast with Zach Bye. Denver Sports is your home for the most Nuggets content. Now here's your host, Zach Bye.
What is up and welcome to another edition of the Mile High Hoops Podcast. As always, I am your host, Zach Bye. And as always, I appreciate you spending a sliver of your busy day with me here on the pod, reacting to the play-in game. Looking forward to the first round of the NBA playoffs. It's Lakers, it's Nuggets in a rematch of the Western Finals from a year ago. Guys, buckle up, pack a lunch. This is going to be hysterically fun over the next week and a half, 2 weeks, depending on how long the series goes, and we'll ultimately predict exactly that near the end of the podcast. Hopefully you guys are doing good. This is where it gets fun. This is why... we do what we do, right? This is why we do what we do. And I said to my co-host yesterday on the radio show, The Drive here on The Fan, I told Philip Lindsay, I'm like, the feeling I have right now, just in my stomach, the excitement bordering on butterflies for Saturday night at Ball Arena, it's a reminder why I worked so hard to get in this business and to get to a place like Denver. I haven't talked about this, I don't think, on the podcast, and if I did, as many, many years ago. I worked for 10 years in Albany, New York, hoping for a break like I got as I turned 30 years old in 2017. And if you told me back then, as I'm trying to work my way up, that I would get to cover the NBA Finals as a credentialed media member and watch Lakers Nuggets and then come and talk about it professionally, it's just a dream come true. So I'm like pinching myself, even though been all the way around the sun a year ago, to do it again here and talk about it on the podcast. I just feel lucky. So let's jump right into it. It's the Lakers again. It looked like for a brief second, and I do mean a second, that the Pelicans were going to come back in that playoff game and win. Zion was the best version of himself. He goes for 40. He ties the game. They're down double digits with like just a couple minutes left. The Pels storm all the way back. He has it was a putback. I figured it was a finish at the rim or that, whatever came first or whatever, but Zion came down. He cringes. Reggie Miller's all over it as soon as it happened. Zion doesn't finish the game. The Pelicans can't finish the game. They lose, and we'll see what happens with them, but it's the Lakers. But it looked like for a second. Now, could you imagine that scenario? If the Pelicans ended up winning that game, and then you get the news that Zion is going to be out for the next 2 weeks before he even gets reevaluated, that would have been an absolute cakewalk, a 4-0 sweep, an extra rest built in to the marathon. It's not going to be that way. And what someone will say is that, they swept the Lakers a year ago, so it could be the same exact result. If I had to guess, and like I said, at the end, I'll give my prediction. If I had to guess, I will say the Lakers get at least a game. And not to say that that's the floor of my expectation. The floor and ceiling for the Nuggets, depending on how you phrase this, I think the ceiling for the Nuggets would be a sweep, right? You can't get it done any less than four games. We've seen it. The Nuggets have dominated their opponent here recently in recent years. The floor would, I think, be six games. Could I see the Lakers finding a way to win two games? If I squint really hard, I think I could see it. Is that what my expectation or my prediction will be here in a few minutes? No, but there is a scenario. Guys, you know, we have to remind ourselves, and I don't actually have to remind you, because you're not going to need the reminder. I'm sure you remember it, and if you haven't, you've already been told. Just how competitive those games were a year ago, right? You think back to those scores, 132 to 126, 108 to 103, 119 to 108. An 11-point win was the largest there during that series, 113-111. A lot of tight games, right? I mean, a lot of tight games, a 6-point win, a 5-point win, a 2-point win. Now, that's not necessarily the final score the fabric of some of those games. I know, remember one in particular in Denver where the Nuggets were way out in front. I think it was game one. The Nuggets were way out in front, and it becomes way more competitive than it you know, actually felt during the temperature of the game. I'm basically saying that, talking about the ceiling and floor, because I am hearing like a ton of confidence, which I love. I have plenty of that here with this team, but I don't want to ever cross the line where it turns into arrogance. This is a top three player in the history of basketball. I think LeBron James is the second greatest player of all time. All right, that's where I personally stand on it after Michael Jordan. I'm not going to go through the argument now. And, you know, LeBron, I mean, he is still on the right night one of the best players in the world. I mean, guys, we're talking about a top 15 scorer at 39 years old. He's averaging 26 points a game, right? That's as many as Jokic, okay? You're talking about the 7 rebounds, over 8 assists a game. He's top 5 in the NBA in assists. He's still freaking awesome. And what's different this time of year, why I'm proceeding with just a hiccup more of caution, is that, and you guys, I'm sure, have seen the theory floated online that if you're going to go win a championship, you're going to have to beat Denver anyway. And would you rather play them in the first round or in a month in the Western Conference Finals? And from a battery stamina standpoint, for the Lakers, I think that fan base can talk themselves into, this is actually better. Like, if we're gonna go down, let's go down against the champs immediately, because they can talk themselves into, if they can get past Denver, your toughest task is done when you have the most battery left in your cartridge. So, do I subscribe to that? I think there's something to it. I certainly think there's something to it. I do think it'll be just a tick more competitive this year. I want to talk about the Michael Porter Jr. thing in just a second. But at the end of the day, at the very end of the day, when you look at what Jokic does against the Lakers, he murders this team. He wears Anthony Davis's skin. Look at the Western Conference Finals last year. Jokic averaged 28 points a game, 15 rebounds a game, and 12 assists a game. Guys, there's a difference between a triple-double and a chunky triple-double. That is like 2016 Jokic chunky version of a modern-day triple-double. That thing is, they don't have an answer for him. And of course, we remember last year the Rui adjustment, which I think was at the end of game one. I could be misremembering now. That led to them coming back in that game. It's put and Minnesota does this too. It's put a smaller, aggressive defender on Jokic and have Anthony Davis or Rudy Gobert roam the backside of that defense and try to serve as a rim protector. Now, Jokic, there is times where that can bother him. He spoke about that actually to Michael Porter Jr. On MPJ's podcast when MPJ asked him, I think it was like a month ago or whatever it was, like, what kind of defenses bother you the most? And he mentioned that by name. So I just want to just return to the dynamics of the series, okay? Again, we saw how that worked. There's no single solution to trying to stop Nikola Jokic. There's just not, okay? And they're going to have to deal with him. And I ultimately believe he will overwhelm them. He will overwhelm the Los Angeles Lakers. Anthony Davis has had a tremendous season. I think he has played, I think it's 79 games, I want to say, for AD. I hope I'm not misquoting that. Let me just double check here really quick. 76 games played for AD, up from 56 the year before, which was up from 40 the year before that, which was up from 36 the year before that. So think about that. He's gone from playing 36 games to 40 games to 56 games to 76 games. And he's been great. You know, 25 a game, you know, almost 13 rebounds. He had an all-NBA type of season, and I believe he will end up on an all-NBA team. Just my guess. But at the end of the day, enough to strike fear? No, not enough. Just not enough. D'Angelo Russell, wow, he was sensational in the play-in game. He really was. But if you remember last year, Denver played him literally off the floor. Just 25 total points in that entire Western Conference Finals. Now, he's a better version of himself this year, and he doesn't have a Bruce Brown breathing down his neck. Do you guys remember the back and forth between those two last year? So fun. But I'm still, I don't think they're one D'Angelo Russell series away from beating a Nuggets team. You know, and the rest of the guys, I mean, these are solid guys. Austin Reeves being at the upper tier of that. But the Taurean Princes, the Jackson Hayeses, Gabe Vincent, I'm sure they'll have chase around Jamal at times. But he obviously wasn't in the picture last year. Talking about Gabe Vincent, he was with Miami. But Jamal averaged over 32 points a game in the Western Conference Finals a year ago. And if you remember this podcast, in air quotes, longtime listeners, this time last year, or maybe, you know, 11 months ago, before the Western Conference Finals, I remember banging the table saying there is no one on the Lakers that can guard Jamal Murray. And it was a prediction of mine that Jamal Murray would average 30 points for the series. And I remember when I said it on the radio, a guy who I worked with at the time, who no longer works at the station, was like, "What? Like 30 a game for this series?" I'm like, "Yeah, I 30 a game for the series. That's what I believe." And that's exactly what ended up happening. Jamal in that series went for 31, 37, 37, and 25. So in three of the four games, scored 31 points or more. Do I expect it to be at that same clip? I actually don't this time around. Do I think it's going to flirt with that range? I do. I think he'll average 28 to 29 points for the series. So I'm just I'm cautioning myself from not going over the top fandom with how confident I am in these Nuggets. Pardon me, taking a drink here. Let's talk about some of the other dynamics here. I do want to get to the MPJ thing. I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but it does deserve mention. I want to talk about the bench real quick. Been speaking for weeks now, maybe a month straight, how bullish I am on the bench in the playoffs. I just don't think it's going to be as much as an issue it was in the regular season. And I do believe that each Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, and Reggie Jackson will each have a singular moment in these playoffs where we come in here on the podcast and on the drive saying the Nuggets don't win that game without Christian Brown. They don't win that game without Peyton Watson. Man, do you remember that 3-minute stretch where Peyton Watson took over the game and Ball Arena was at a fever pitch? Do you remember the game when Reggie Jackson scored 9 points off the bench in a 4-minute span, and, you know, propelled a second unit run? Like, I think all of that is awaiting for us. I really do. Beyond those three, I'm not putting stock in any other really bench player. I'm just not. But I do. I'm super bullish on those three. And if I had, and we're going to have a conversation later today on the radio show, if I had to bet who's the bench MVP from this run, the way that Bruce Brown was the bench MVP a year ago, 16 double-digit performances off the bench last year for Bruce Brown. That was 17 total in last year's postseason. Bruce Brown had 16 of them. Not one of these players off the bench is the caliber of Bruce Brown in that department. But I think Christian Brown can be 60% of what Bruce Brown was, and then the other 40% missing there from Brucey B will be made up from Reggie Jackson and Peyton Watson. And it wouldn't be surprised if it's big chunks, like one guy from those three guys steals the show on any given night, and then they kind of take turns handling that heavy lift together. And we'll see how heavy of a lift it actually is. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has been fantastic against the Lakers. And I think it was game one. I'm going to try to pull it up here in real time. But I think it was game one. He kind of kicked the door down to that Western Conference. Yeah, it was. It was 21 points last year in 36 minutes in game one. KCP, and I appreciate this about him and the veteran nature from him, he has a sensitivity to the moment. And man, he grows with it. And that game number one in Denver last year was so huge. And he just kind of accepted the responsibility and went crazy for one of his best games in the entire playoffs. He averaged 15 points for the series. Wouldn't shock me at all if he's flirting with that exact same number this time around. And then Aaron Gordon, when you get to Aaron Gordon, and I'm going to pull up the numbers here specifically so I'm not speaking out of turn. He had some big games in that series, but I don't believe they were let me just double check here. Yeah, okay, so I was on the right track. I was about to say, I don't remember Aaron Gordon's offensive impact being too overwhelming last year. Just one game, more than 12 points, and he got to, in that closeout game, he played over 40 minutes and got to 22 points, but we saw a 7-point game, we saw a 10-point game, we saw a 12-point game. Their size is real, and we see Aaron Gordon against a Lakers, a Minnesota. He just doesn't thrive and able to take over in moments with that big, aggressive physicality that he plays with. And then for Michael Porter Jr., man, I just feel for this kid. I do, man. I feel for this kid. It's a huge story this week. His brother, Jontay Porter, found guilty of gambling on the NBA, gambling through a conduit on himself, against the Raptors. Just awful. Awful. The only example in NBA history where an active player is banned for life. And that happens the week before the playoffs start in a very public manner. But also what's happening this week for Michael, and at the time of recording, it's Thursday afternoon. Tomorrow afternoon, his brother Corbin is going to get sentenced in a vehicular homicide case, which he has already pleaded guilty to. Okay, last year around the campus of Denver University, he killed a woman coming home from a late night shift. He was recklessly drunk, never tapped the brake, and killed her. And his sentencing comes the day before the playoff start, the week of his other brother getting banned from the NBA for life. I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to even understand where his psyche is at, and I truly don't know what to expect. I really don't. I don't know what to expect. Last year in the Western Conference Finals, Michael Porter Jr. was solid, man. He was between 14 and 16 points all four games of that sweep. That's really hard to do, that kind of consistency. And if you take a look at him this year against the Los Angeles Lakers, he's been great. He scored 25 points. Remember, he had that perfect night where he didn't miss a shot, 10 for 10 from the field, 5 of 5 from 3. It was an NBA record for those denominations. No one had ever done did what he did that evening. But don't forget also back in February, a month prior to that, he had a 27-point game on 11 of 20 shooting and 4 of 7 from 3. And then back to the first game of the year, which was banner night, he didn't shoot it as well, 5 for 13, but finished with 12 points. But you're talking about averaging 20 points against an opponent over the course of a three-game sample this season, in addition to averaging 15 points a game against them last year during the playoffs. He has positive mojo against the Lakers. I just hope we see it and it doesn't get overwhelmed by that other stuff happening in his life. Okay, I think I got through most of the stuff that I wanted to get through. I can't wait to come back and react to some of these games. Gosh, I'm going to go, at the end of the day, I'm going to go Nuggets in 5. I think Lakers find a way to squeak out a single win, and I think the Nuggets make this a short series. I just, at the end of the day, I'm very respectful of one of the greatest careers of all time. I'm very respectful of Anthony Davis and what he was able to do this year in an all-NBA caliber season from a future Hall of Famer. I'm just too confident in the Denver Nuggets. I'm too confident with who they are culturally, who they are puzzle pieces, who the best player is, who the closer is in Jamal Murray, in addition to Jokic. I trust in the X factor of Michael Porter Jr. You put that all together. I trust in the bench and that narrowed minutes and focus and the help they're going to get with staggered starters. I just don't think the Lakers have enough to even win two games. And I hope I'm right about that. Actually, I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's a sweep. We'll see what happens here in just a couple of days. Guys, enjoy these moments. This is awesome. Saturday night, I will be at Ball Arena. Say hello if you see me. Look for my stuff. We'll be back here talking about the game on Tuesday, okay? And then looking ahead to game number two. Not looking ahead to game number two. We will, I believe, be reacting to game number two. Let me just double check the schedule here. The first game is on Saturday evening at 6:30. Second game is Monday night. So we'll be back here Tuesday reacting to two sets of games. Look for my content on Twitter. On YouTube is where I'll have my own personal videos reacting to the game from the arena, and really looking forward to delivering that content to you guys. Thank you so much for being here, and whatever happens here in the early stages of the rematch of the Western Conference Finals, we'll be back here on Tuesday talking about it right here on the Mile High Hoops Podcast.